Why is flying so damaging to the environment?
Well, we often, when we travel, we via planes, we tend to go a long way, and that uses up a lot of fossil fuels, mainly oil, kerosene, and it emits a lot of carbon dioxide emissions in the process. So that's the main reason. It's a big contributor to climate change and a big because of our own individual environmental carbon footprint.
Right. Well, airports as well as planes leave a large carbon footprint, as you just said. Can you elaborate on the International Carbon Accreditation Scheme and the other measures taken to allow for greener airports?
Yeah, so I mean, it's an international scheme that's essentially designed to make airports a bit greener, because as you said, they are these big kind of colossal, almost mini cities in some ways. They have big shopping centres and a lot of infrastructure and energy use associated with it. So this scheme is just designed to make that infrastructure greener, so making it more efficient, better use of water and energy, and hopefully making that aspect of flying, which we tend not to think about. We tend to just think about the planes, but the infrastructure, trying to make that a bit greener.
Yeah, because I'd imagine it is a massive process working at an airport. The amount of energy that they would go through to run that kind of operation would be just enormous.
That's right.
So yeah. How can we make environmentally conscious decisions when travelling besides air travel? What are the other aspects of environmentally conscious decisions while travelling?
Well, it's a tough one, because we get a lot of enjoyment out of air travel. So air travel can take us to around the world and gives us new experiences, both, you know, professionally in terms of going to meetings and conferences. People get a lot of benefit out of that, as well as recreation and leisure. So I suppose the best way to think about it is, do I really need to go? Do I need to travel in the first place by air? So are there other ways to get the benefits of that travel without actually going? So we've been doing some work on conferencing, where you sort of attend the conference remotely via these telepresence robots. So that's one way that I've tried to look at to reduce the impact in terms of my travel decisions.
Yeah, right. So I guess workplaces have a role in also making these environmentally conscious decisions when it comes to air travel as well.
They do, for sure. And I think workplaces can do that with, making sure they've got good video conferencing facilities and encouraging people to collaborate and do that sort of thing remotely with each other without actually having to always be physically co-present. So that's an important thing to do.
Yeah, use the technology at hand that's around these days. What is the free ride campaign? And is a frequent flyer levy a plausible measure to discourage current flyers?
So yeah, this campaign of free ride is an interesting one. It's picking up on the idea that a lot of the air travel that happens is from frequent flyers. So particularly business travel, these are people who fly a lot, sort of as part of their job. So they're sort of constantly flying around the place, and so not everyone is flying equally. So as I said, that there are some people who don't fly very much, and some people that fly a lot, and free ride campaign is designed to try to affect a bit of change towards viewing flying as a privilege and trying to sort of make it a bit more equitable. So it's designed to put a levy on frequent flying, essentially. So you would pay no levy for the first flight that you would take each year, but then increasing that levy and building it up the more and more you fly each year.
Do you believe that would be a plausible measure to discourage the flyers that do that? Because I guess if it's almost paid by the company, that possibly that would be paying for their flights to these places.
Yeah, and I think companies would start to listen a little bit if all of a sudden, you know, they're one person who's flying, you know, 10, 12, 20 times a year, all of a sudden their levy is going up and up and up. They're going to start to think about, well, does this person really need to be in the places that they're going each time? So I think it would at least, you know, bring the cost element into the picture a bit more and the environmental aspect of flying.
Yeah, probably bring the conversation into the business that they're
right.
Running at the moment. So yeah. Would you say that virtual technology is the answer?
Well, not really. I think it's an answer for some things. And right. So I think attending something virtually, you know, like a conference, as I said, via these robots or watching a live stream, it's obviously not the same thing as being there, but it's also better than not being there. So, you know, you can see what someone is, if you're watching a presentation or something like that, you can hear what they're saying. But you tend not to get the other aspects of travel that we value. So a lot of people, particularly business travel and academic air travel is something that I've been looking at. People get a lot of benefit out of just chatting to people informally at meetings and at the bar, at the pub. And you obviously don't get that when you are, you know, in a video conference or something like that. So the virtual travel can sort of work for certain parts of travel, but not others.
Right. Well, what's your idea of the perfect answer to these problems?
Oh, gosh, that's again a really tough one. I mean, I think we've really got to just think outside the box and get people thinking about why they really need to travel. You know, obviously, we are going to need to travel, and I don't expect that we would stop traveling tomorrow or really anytime soon. But you know, I think that a combination of these campaigns to, you know, think about more equitable air travel, using technology when you can, thinking about local alternatives to travel. So do I really need to go to this far-flung place when, you know, maybe I can find these experiences closer to home? I think a whole different ways of thinking about it is probably the answer rather than one single measure.
Definitely. It'll be interesting to see how the International Carbon Accreditation Scheme and the Frequent Flyer Levy, how they go this year and years on, whether it makes a massive impact.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks very much.
You were listening to Andrew Glover, a postdoctoral research fellow from RMIT University in Melbourne, and he was speaking about initiatives currently undertaken to combat a rise in carbon emissions from increased air travel and other travelling methods, I should say. This one is Old Shanghai by Eleanor Friedenberger. We'll be right back.